I spent a lot of time alone, but I was rarely lonely because I like my own brain.
Welcome to the Busy Girls Book Club. We are a podcast that rates and reviews Book Talk and Bookstagram's most popular books to tell you whether or not you should take the time out of your busy schedules to read them. I'm Catherine.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Casey. And boy, today do we have a fun one. Today we are reviewing a book called Big Swiss by Jen Began. It is hard to summarize succinctly because it's really more of an exploration of character.
That's an understatement.
It has a very unreliable narrator. The sort of general idea is that this woman who's in her 40s, she's kind of having a midlife crisis and reinvents herself, but it's really chaotic and like she's not doing well. So she moves across the country, like breaks her engagement with a man, moves across the country, and lives in this horrible, decrepit house with this friend of hers, and starts being a transcriptionist for a local therapist. And it's a small community that they're in. It's in Hudson, New York, which is evidently really small and sort of cliquey. I wouldn't know, but that's how it's portrayed in the book. And so it's sort of interesting because there's only one therapist in town, and she knows or has some idea of, in real life, many of the people that whose like therapy sessions she literally gets to listen to. And she develops a kind of obsession with one of these people whose name, well, her name isn't Big Swiss, but the main character calls her Big Swiss.
You're burying the lead. It's a sex therapist.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. A sex therapist.
Named Ohm.
Named Ohm. Yeah.
Yes. And he's exactly as you think he'd be. So anyway, she gets all of this sort of illicit insight into Big Swiss. And then they end up having a relationship in real life and things get kind of out of control. So do you guys have reviews?
Yeah, I have two reviews because it's an interesting book. One is not rated, but this person read the book and it just says it was definitely a book that I read. And then sure. This other one is a one-star review and it just says a big Swiss appointment for me.
Damn it. That was one of mine.
Good one.
I thought that was so funny.
It was so
disappointment.
Good.
Okay, I can go next. I did like a lot of the one-star reviews, but I grabbed 2 4-stars ultimately outside of the big Swiss appointment.
Yeah.
So the first 4-star, we love unhinged and broken women in this household. And then the second 4-star, just pretentious enough.
Oh, Lord.
I have 2 I liked. I'm only going to read part of them, though. There was a 2.25 on StoryGraph, and the first sentence of it is, this book was not half as weird as the TikTok girls made it sound.
Okay.
So there is Litfic TikTok for people yes. like Casey.
Casey's not on it, to be clear.
No, but I would be.
But there's a 4-star that is kind of longer, but made me chuckle. And it says, reading this book was like watching a bee infestation in your kitchen slowly grow and get worse, uncontrollable, while you're entirely powerless to do anything about it. It also felt, as I put to a friend, like watching a car crash, but it's a train crashing and the brakes and the acceleration are both on and the main character hanging off the side. But she wants to be there and she keeps making bad decisions that she doesn't care about, but I do. And she was stressing me out. I could not stop watching. I loved and hated every second of it. I couldn't put it down. I'm still very confused about that, but it's very well written. It made me super uncomfy multiple times. Fantastic work. That's the first paragraph.
Oh my God. I love that. Honestly, that's a really great summary.
Yeah, that's an amazing summary of that feelings of this book.
Okay.
Yeah.
This book is overall the Goodreads rating is 3.7 out of 5, and the Amazon rating is also 3.7 out of 5. So not necessarily our highest rated Busy Girl book, but this book definitely took book talk by storm. So yeah, where did you guys come down on this one?
So I think we all know this book was not my pick.
Yeah.
It was definitely a Casey pick.
But so, why not me? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. the beauty of this podcast, it's a book I would have never read ever. Like, I wouldn't even have picked it up because the cover is gross to me. Like that yeah. The cover.
Once you figure out what the cover is, you're yeah. like, oh, and that did not take long.
No, yeah, that was gross. Anyway, I gave it 2 stars because it's well written. That's all I can give it. Everything else, I wanted to stab my eyes out.
Oh God.
Okay, well, I also ended up giving it 2 stars, but not for the same reasons. I thought this made me giggle. It was a solid 3 stars for me most of the book. Other than there was just a lot of sex. And I was like, all right, well, most books like that are not my favorite. Honestly, I need more of a plot. You know me. But also, it was 3 stars until the end. And then it ended. I was like, what was the point of this?
Yeah.
And so that lost a whole star for me because while it was funny, I don't know what I was supposed to get out of it so much. There was not much of a resolution at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just kind of abruptly ends.
I don't like books without resolutions at the end.
Welcome to Litfic, baby.
I know.
It's why we're not Litfic girlies.
And like I said, I was like, all right, I was doing fine with it until the very end. And then I was like it was an average for me. And now it's a little below average because I need a resolution and a plot.
That's it just so made funny. Me sick the entire time. It's like this is so too much. Like it's all the bugs really fucking grossed me out. I'm like, why are we in this place? Stop.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, I can live with all that. I ended up giving the book 4 stars. Obviously, Shocker. It's much more in my wheelhouse. I didn't think it was perfect, though. I actually loved the main character. She made me laugh so hard. But she does make just like horrible, awful choices.
Over and over and over, compounding yeah. terrible decisions.
But I think I just really appreciated the depiction of trauma and two different women handling their trauma, like basically in total opposite ways. And so that was the part of the book that I think I just like felt the most about, was sort of watching these two women who are so different, like absolutely blow their lives up. And yeah, I just enjoyed it. Like, honestly, it was just funny and I didn't really feel like I needed to get anything from it other than that. But ultimately, I liked that it was sort of a coming of age, but a coming of age for a 45-year-old. And so, yeah, I kind of liked it. I just liked that it was messy and it was almost like fantastical the way it was written.
Graphic.
Because it feels very like divorced from reality at some points. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and very graphic. And so I liked sort of living in the main character's universe. And then like, I don't know, it was just an interesting book to me, but not perfect. You know, there was definitely parts where I was like, all right, that did not necessarily have to be in here.
Yes. And that's one of my other big icks. Mm-hmm. The 45-year-old and the 28-year-old. It was weird. I'm sorry. I wouldn't like it even if it was a man and a woman. It was weird.
Yeah.
And I
would have preferred it if the main character was the younger one. It felt weirder reading it from the older woman's perspective.
Right. You know, I actually didn't mind the age gap as much.
It felt weird when I thought about it.
Yeah.
It's not noticeable.
She was being parented by a 28-year-old who wanted also to, like, you know.
Yeah.
She had a fetish for old people, yes.
Yes. Okay. Well, now on to our discussion, our non-spoiler discussion. We've obviously already touched on this a little bit. While there is technically the idea of a plot, this is not a plot-driven book.
There's
like
no plot.
Yeah. Literally just the main character making terrible choices and like her.
Honestly, it's kind of a, will she kill herself today? That's the plot.
Yeah, basically. Is she going
to
live? Will
she find the will to live today?
Right. And will also, what will Big Swiss? Yeah. And the main relationship, which you probably, everyone can probably tell just by the way we've been discussing it, is between Big Swiss and the main character. And they are both just like super volatile people. So I feel like the whole thing was like being on the edge of your seat. Just like, where is this interaction going to go?
I guess the tension came from, you knew Big Swiss was going to find out. And so it was a matter of when.
Right.
It wasn't like plot tension. It was just like, this thing's going to happen.
Right.
Tension.
Well, and they get deeper and deeper into their relationship with each other. But the main character has this huge fucking secret. She like listens to her therapy sessions, which is crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you or would you read other books by the author?
If it's more lit fic, probably no.
I'd consider it. She made me giggle.
Yeah. This made me laugh enough that I definitely would. It looks like Big Swiss is her like earliest release. It came out in 2023, but she has two other books, which I have not heard of.
Okay.
Oh my God. I've never seen the other cover of Big Swiss. The other cover of Big Swiss is the two dogs tonguing each other.
Oh, great. Of course it is. I had never seen that one either. I've only seen... The cover of this book is extremely iconic. You would definitely...
No, it's not iconic. It. It's gross.
You would know it anywhere. Like,
well, now, I'll never unsee it now that I know what it is.
Yeah.
Which you find out pretty much immediately. You're like, oh, that's an inappropriate cover.
Yeah.
But no one will know until they read the book.
Yep.
We'll just let you guys figure that one out yourselves and not... specifically discuss that in the spoiler free section.
It is a very section. Right, it's a very sexuality forward book, I'd say it that way. And not sexuality like you've ever read it written before, like,
no,
it's very unsexy sexuality.
Yeah, it's a lot more about like the body of it all and less about like the
mentions of bodily fluids and drooling. Yeah,
it's just the mechanics rather than the feelings.
So what about the pacing of the book? It's not that long. I think it's like a little over 300 pages.
I had no issue with it other than I just didn't have a lot of time to read it, so I finished it, you know, like 2 minutes before we started recording this. I was pretty entertained, never felt like I had to force myself to read it, because it just kept you on the edge of your seat enough, not knowing what this girl would do next, that like I wanted to keep going. And yeah, probably took me like 3 or 4 sittings, probably read it in a couple big chunks.
So I read it basically in one sitting ish. I got the audiobook as well because I was falling behind and I needed to like catch up.
Interesting audiobook.
Yeah, it's a very interesting audiobook. Huh. And it's multiple different actors. I think it's like 5 different voice actors doing the different characters. Very interesting. But yes, imagine walking down the grocery store listening to this book. That is me.
That's on you, girl. That's on you.
Yeah, that's on me. But I was far behind. Like, I started this book this morning, finished it this afternoon. And it's because the cover grossed me out enough that I didn't want to read this book. But yeah, the pacing was fine. I wasn't really that interested in the main character because she gave me secondhand cringe. And I'm not good with secondhand cringe. Never been good with secondhand cringe. Like, I take it on very viscerally. So I had to force myself to read it on multiple occasions. But pacing wise, it's actually a very well-paced book for a character development book. I will give it its flowers for that.
Right. Honestly, I'm shocked with all the cringy ass female heroines we've been reading on this podcast. Like,
I hope all the fantasy girls heroine.
No, all the fantasy girls be cringe these days. So,
I mean, I will criticize DM also.
DM in particular.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I thought the pacing was great. I think that's actually one of the main reasons why the book ended up being as highly rated as I rated it, is because I just was like always enjoying it. Like, there was always something happening in the background that was interesting. And I think you always do have a sense of, like, forward motion. Like, you're not exactly sure where you're going, but the book is never, like, standing still. Like, there's always something that's happening that's pushing the character forward. So I blew through it. I think I read it in 2 or 3 days. And I just, like, I had to know. I had to know what happened with Big Swiss.
As I'm looking at the next question, it says, you know, would you watch the movie or TV show? And you have in parentheses, this is being adapted as a TV show.
It is indeed.
Lord, that is unhinged.
Jodie Foster, who's in Killing Eve, she's one of the characters. I think she's Big Swiss.
I think it's Jodie Comer.
That's it.
Yes. And I'm obsessed with her. She's like my favorite actress of all time. So
honestly, you know what? It gives Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, kind of. I could see it being a just unbelievable comedy like that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I kind of pictured Sabine or Sabine as the woman from Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt, the like elderly lady Kimmy lives with. I don't know if you guys have watched that, but
I don't know. I don't know.
No.
It's a strange show.
Yeah. But it's going to be HBO. So
I mean, it has to be. There's no other place that could do this.
Yeah. Dude, I'm so excited. I think Jodie Comer is like the perfect actress for it. So I'm like truly chuffed.
I think she is.
I am intrigued.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think that's the end of our non-spoiler discussion. Do you guys have a busy rating?
I'll bump my quality rating and give it a 3 busy girl rating. Because it's fairly short. And if you like lick fic, you'll probably enjoy this book. And it's a quick read. But I mean, I can't give it anything higher than that for the amount of graphic things that are in this book. And just like, I'm not one to blush and I'm not one to like not read smut and stuff like that. This ain't smut. This is just graphic, very intense sex scenes. And yeah, just a lot of gross gore, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm also going to go with the 3 just because this book is definitely not for everyone. It's not one I will be recommending to a lot of like my coworkers. I'm not going to say, please go read Big Swiss and let's talk about it. Absolutely not. But it was well paced. It made me laugh. I just am not sure with the resolution at the end if it was totally worth my time either. So 3 for me.
Yeah, actually, for the most part, agree with you guys. I think I'm also going to drop it to a 3. My main reason is that, like, I did enjoy it while I was reading it. I have not thought about it at all since I finished it. Like, I just don't really feel like it stuck with me the way books that I really love do. And it's so niche that, like, I honestly can't fathom who or for what reason I would recommend someone read this book. Like, I just don't know. I think if you want something like this, there are better things. Like, I would recommend Bunny before I would recommend this.
Odd.
Yeah, I know. That's oh my God, my words today. As for the lit fic girls, I think you can find better stories for your time. But I also thought it was a fun read. And like, if you just have a few days, why not? So I'll just stick with a 3.
Okay. Wow, we all agreed.
Hell yeah. So spoiler alert, this is a really crazy book where a lot of events happen. So I really fully believe that if you're going to read it, you should go in blind and just experience it. If you're not going to read it, or you've already read it, feel free to tune in because we're going to get into it.
Okay. Let's talk about Greta / Rebecca.
This woman is so crazy.
Yeah.
And I say crazy with love, but
I don't say it with love.
I say it with love because she very clearly has like undiagnosed mental illness. And like to me, the like key part of this book is that Greta is a trauma person. So Big Swiss says this line, which I think of as being like the iconic sort of line of the novel, where she's like, God, those trauma people, they're worse than Trump people.
And it's brought up at the very beginning and the very end.
Yes. And it's like Greta is sort of like the chaos demon woman who like cannot address her trauma or heal from it, and therefore like lives in this like horrible cycle of like imploding on herself. Because her mom obviously like has some sort of bipolar disorder, which in my opinion Greta has as well. Like,
and she confirms she has a detachment disorder,
right? And so, but I just loved how funny she was, and that
you never knew what was coming out of her mouth.
No.
And I kind of loved how unapologetic she was about how she chose to live her life. Like, I definitely think that she needed to heal. But I kind of loved reading her journey.
Well, she wasn't, like, a whiny, traumatized person. Like, you know, like, mm-hmm. you see a lot of mm-hmm. in fiction where it's just, like, the main character is down on her luck, pity me, poor me kind of thing. She's not really like that. She's just can't even get out of her own head, get out of her own way. And yeah. it's more of an unconscious thing she is doing because she never actually truly addressed her mother's suicide and how that impacted her and her being almost like brought into a cult church and like yeah. all these other things and never addressed her sexuality. And she talks about it because it's at a time where being bisexual isn't necessarily like something that was spoken about. And then now she's 45 and it's like more less taboo now, but she doesn't feel comfortable being the older woman now in these spaces. And so she's going through a very unique journey. I don't think that justifies her basically defiling Big Swish because yeah. you can't listen to someone's therapy appointments and then use that against them. Because that's yep. what she did.
Yeah. Yes.
So I feel like I was trying to decide the whole time if her living situation was an attempt at healing, like a simple life after imploding everything else, or if it was punishing herself. I'm not sure she knows the answer either.
Yes.
Like, it was just, I feel like she didn't believe she deserved anything good, so she purposely ruined everything good, including what ended up being her... shouldn't have been relationship with Big Swiss. She ends up imploding that even when it gets too good.
Right. Because yeah. her choices are like absolutely unacceptable. Mm-hmm. Like Catherine, you've said, like listening to someone's therapy appointments and not telling them and just like having this sort of double life she develops where she is very invasive and I think violating. And I think that, like, I think what kept this book from...
about it, too.
Yes. Which, for a real human adult, is just an absolutely insane thing to do. And also to conduct yourself as if you're not going to be found out is also insane. Well, in this tiny-ass town.
When she was introduced to herself as Rebecca Gret, it was just like, how did you not get found out Greta. As soon as you said that?
Well, and when, yeah, and she, what's the dog's name? Big Swiss. She also could be possibly diagnosed with Asperger's. She really just says whatever yeah. is on her mind with no filter to a point it seems like it is not just her personality, but maybe like an actual diagnosis. Right. And the funny part is initially she does try and say all this random crap with no filter to scare away Big Swiss, and it doesn't work, which is, yeah. I'm kind of like, at this point, Big Swiss, it's your fault now.
She did do this to herself.
Yeah. I'm like, right. you somehow liked this, so it's on you now.
I mean, to be fair, I think Big Swiss, because that's just what I'm going to call her from now on. I'm not going to call her Flavia. she definitely wanted someone who was blunt and open after the experiences she's had. And I think she was also kind of experiencing her own sexuality at the same time. And unfortunately for her, she was also being gaslit and manipulated by her affair partner. And that person was finding out things in therapy sessions, then using them to get closer without even meaning to. And it's just like, that's so fucked up. You can't be doing that. So she's like, I feel such a deep connection to you. I'm like, girl, it's because she's spying on you.
Yeah. And it's crazy. This book, to me, is almost like, one of the reasons I liked it is I feel like it's actually kind of an ultimate anti-hero arc. Oh, yeah. Because Greta is the bad guy. Like, Greta is doing something objectively horrible. Uh-huh. But also, like, you kind of love with, like, watching it with, like, horrified fascination. Because also because we're in her head, we understand that she doesn't really mean to do it in a mean way. Like, she doesn't have bad intentions, even though what she's doing is bad. And she just sort of, like, stumbles around continuing this, like, sort of, like, shocked by her own audacity.
Her own head is a jumbled up mess because she can't even remember, like, basic facts, because she was, like, when she was trying to get up her, like, her last name, her fake last name of Graves, she's like, oh, it's because we were in a cemetery. And then, like, Big Swiss is like, no, we weren't. We were in a dog park. And she was like, oh.
But she was, like, thinking about a cemetery when it happened.
Yeah, something. So it's just, like, her...
She lives half in reality and half in delusion.
Yeah, her mind is a jumbled up mess.
And this is where I think the part about the unresolved trauma really hit, is because from the start of the book, we hear her talk about her mom. And I don't think we fully understand. Obviously, like, then we learn, like, oh, she's blamed herself for the suicide. She feels like she accidentally, like, gave her mom permission to kill herself and, like, all this stuff, which is even worse. But also, her mom was extremely paranoid. And Greta, in, like, semi-detached from reality. And Greta is, like, extremely paranoid and semi-detached from reality. And so it's like, okay, like, because you could not deal with the trauma from your mother, you literally became her. And I think that for me, the, like, reason and the motivation behind listening to Big Swiss's therapy, again, not excusing it, but it wasn't like she wanted to manipulate her. It was that she wanted to, like, know for sure what Big Swiss thought of her.
Yeah.
Yeah. She, like, wanted, she's like, clearly sees someone with a different trauma response than her, mm-hmm. and is fascinated by this woman's confidence and lack of, like, seemingly care for what happened to her, even though, like, it is affecting her. So it ends up, it's like a sick case study for Greta that turns into something more.
Right. And I feel like from Big Swiss's part, the fascination was sort of mutual. So the other thing I really liked about the book was how Big Swiss and Greta are constantly a foil to each other, and they're in many ways total opposites, because Greta is someone who didn't deal with her drama, and as a result, her life is always a disaster and she's a mess as a person. Whereas Big Swiss is, like, on the total other end of the spectrum, where she hasn't dealt with her trauma or healed from it either, but she's pushed it to the side while being an ambitious and high achieving person. And so instead of, like, healing and actually feeling good, she just presents the facade of a good life, even though she's mm-hmm. really deeply unhappy, which is why she gets into this affair with Greta in the first place.
And I will say, funny enough, the therapy transcripts were the best part of the book.
Yes. Yep.
They were so funny. Ohm is hilarious. And
I love Ohm.
Big Swiss puts him in his place, like, do you actually know what you're doing? I'm just here because my husband wants me to be, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And also Greta's, like, outbursts while transcribing them. Like,
yep.
So funny.
So good.
I didn't
so
think funny. That I would like the, like, transcription style thing, but it ended so up good. Being so good.
Well, because it was, like, so good. Because Greta has listened to Ohm's other clients, and mm-hmm. so she knows that he acts differently around women and men. Mm-hmm. And, like, he's, like, this really shady sex therapist, so I'm pretty sure he's having sex with his clients. And yeah. It's just this weird, like, thing where she's just, like, interjecting, like, no, you don't do that. You don't. And then, like, Big Swiss calling him on his shit, and he's like, well, no, I do this with my male clients as well. And she's just like, no, you don't. No.
You don't. Yeah. No, I thought it was hilarious. I actually thought Ohm had one of the most fascinating character arcs in the book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, like, okay, so to me, the book is, like, we start off semi-normal, and then as Greta's obsession with Big Swiss gets to its, like, peak point, we're also at, like, peak delusion in her head, where, like, things aren't making sense, and, like, other people and events don't really make sense. Like, you can just tell that, like, you feel like she's, like, hiding things almost. And then the very end of the book is like the crash down where it feels like we're almost like back in reality again. At least that's what it felt like to me. And so the whole time earlier, Om is like this like fucking idiot, like sex therapist who's very sexist, which I think is all true. Mm-hmm. But then at the end, he's the person who holds Greta accountable. And he's actually very good with her in their end sessions.
Like, yeah, he's actually funny. A semi-good therapist at the end.
Yeah.
It's like, it's funny because I think he's so good with her because he doesn't care to impress her.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of like this more just like mellow version of himself because he's not putting on an act. You're like, oh, you actually don't suck all the way.
And, you know? Okay, but did anyone else think that he's writing a fiction novel about like a Greta-like character and that's why he's so interested and fascinated in her therapy sessions, because he actually wants to use her for like a novel?
He should.
I mean, yeah, it was when you find out he's writing a fiction book, it's fascinating. Mm-hmm. And you're like, if that's the next book this author writes, I'm in.
I also don't understand, when is this book set? Because like Otter AI exists.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking the whole time. They never explicitly address it, but it feels very like early 2000s to me.
Well, he claims he uses a transcription service to Big Swiss at one point. So like it definitely exists. He's choosing not to use it.
But he could have been referring to like...
But then they mentioned Trump.
Yeah. Service where you send it out to somewhere. And
this
then
is post-2016.
I know the book is...
But I think it's set post-2016 because of the Trump mentions.
Oh, that's right. I totally forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is super weird that he doesn't just use Otter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And use AI. Other reference about, like, you know, the things people are, like, consuming in the town, like the weird, like, hippie bars. And they called Flavia's husband a Patagoniac, you know, wearing mm-hmm. his, you know, I just feel like some of the references were definitely, like, 20
days. Otter.
Yeah.
Though, I mean, it could have just been he didn't want to have to look over it again. Because when you do it in Otter will still make mistakes and you have to go back over it and, like, fix it.
That's or, true. Like you're saying, he was actually using her as a case study for his book. Who knows?
I mean, I truly think, because those end sessions, he's scribbling so much that I'm really thinking he is going to create some, like, he's going to create this Big Swiss book, essentially. It's going to be this weird meta thing.
Right. Okay, so our next question is about the book's characterization of trauma, which, since we haven't explicitly talked about it so far, we've been focused on Greta's issues. Big Swiss also has, like, this horrifying past trauma where she was almost beaten to death and had to, like, beg for her life, and then it's in this small town, so everyone who she knows this guy, and he's getting out of prison. So that's part of why she is in therapy at this time, is that this man who almost killed her is now back in their town, essentially, which is crazy and awful. And also, like, Catherine, as you mentioned earlier, she also has all these kind of, like, sexual epiphanies about not being straight and being attracted to women and, you know, perhaps not attracted to her husband and just all this stuff. So, yeah, I mean, what did you guys think of Big Swiss's issues and the book's characterization of trauma in general?
I mean, because she talks about, like, the quote that you said about, like, they're kind of like trauma people are kind of like Trump people. They like to play victim kind of thing. Mm-hmm. She is so externalizing everything instead of, like, actually digging into herself. After her assault, she chose the safest man possible who would never hurt her mm-hmm. and can never hurt her emotionally or physically. And then she basically, like, compartmentalizes her entire life and goes on a trajectory that to the outside looks like she's doing great for what she's been through, but she's never actually, like, gone through the steps of releasing that trauma. And I can't tell in the book if she truly was being stalked. For some parts, I feel like she was making up people stalking her. But then there's other parts where, like, other people mention that they see Keith, her abuser, like, yeah. around. But I don't know. Maybe he wasn't actually stalking her, because she then goes into the bushes and then is just like, Keith, I know you're in there. Come out. And then it just turns out it's just some random guy that was, like, doing something else entirely.
I think it was his sister. But that's part of the reason I don't like the end, is because we never get a resolution to that part. Like, there were a lot of unanswered questions, and that was a big one. I don't know. I also think Big Swiss is interesting because she almost feels like everybody is owed some sort of trauma in life, and that is just hers, and it's her duty to accept it and move on. Mm-hmm. And which is such, like, a toxic way to look at it, obviously, but also you're kind of like, well, she's kind of a badass for just, like, I don't know, stuffing it down and going on with life and becoming a doctor and, you know, living the quote-unquote perfect life, even though she's not happy. Like, you admire it, but also, like, ooh, that's going to come back and get you, which it does, but...
Yeah, because she wakes up one day and, like, realizes she doesn't really like her life. Like, Catherine, like you said, she chose the safest man possible. She doesn't really experience, like, this is the part of the book that's, like, about sex, is, like, she doesn't really experience sex with him. Like, that's one of the core issues that got her into therapy as well, is that she would, like, almost just, like, disassociate when they were having sex. And so it's like there's all these, like, fingers of the trauma in her life, but she just doesn't want to look at it. And so then it kind of all explodes out of her with this affair with Greta. Like,
yeah, feeling toxic thing she says, like, yeah, he's going to get out of prison, but it's okay. He did his time. Like, no one who's attacked does that. And also at the end, she's like, I don't believe in apologies. It's like, that's also super toxic. Like, it has messed her up in so many more ways than she realizes.
Yeah. Right. And because she's just, like, unable. It's like, they talk about this in The Body Keeps the Score a little bit. But it's like, you can't actually compartmentalize your emotions. Like, you can try to forget about the experience or not think of it. But if you don't want to feel a certain emotion, like, you know, painful memories that bring up hard emotions, you can't only suppress bad emotions. You have to suppress every emotion. And so that's what I think of when I think of her, is she's just carried on, and in doing so, like, suppressed every emotion and became, like, an automaton.
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, she has to be brought back.
That's why it's like she talks about in sex therapy, like, she gets her first orgasm ever, and she talks about that's turned into, like, carnal desire, because she truly has never felt desire, has never felt, like, any sort of lust. And now it's all coming in all at once because she suppressed everything. So now she's 28 and has a lot of needs and a lot of things that she needs to work through.
And because she never felt desire, was never able to feel safe feeling desire, now she's realizing she desires women. Like,
She's not sure what to do with her desire.
Right. Doesn't really know how to act on them, or, like, have a safe relationship with them, like, or how to, like, heal the relationship with her husband. Yeah, it was crazy. Okay. So Greta, throughout the book, building up to the big reveal where Big Swiss finds out that she's a transcriptionist, interacts with several of Ohm's clients. And she can't help herself. She has to
remind
say something.
Me of Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman. Say that to a woman. And you remind me of Jason
Bateman. I wanted to just shake her. I was like, what the fuck are you doing?
Nicole obviously was, like, so obsessed with her then, because she was just like, oh my god, you understand me.
she sees me.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my god, is she gonna have an affair with Nicole too?
Right.
I wanted them to be, like, besties, and she never really came back up except that time at the dog park. But it was just too funny.
Yeah.
That she, like, is this recluse, but still so tapped in on what's going on in this little toxic town, because she actually knows way more than everybody else.
Way more than she should know.
Yeah. Way more than she's entitled.
Terrible
to know,
idea. Oh.
Yeah. Cause he thought, like, oh yeah, it's fine, we'll just use initials and not do any sort of voice distortion or anything.
Right. Okay. Actually, at this point, We haven't brought up the house, and I want to bring up the house.
Okay. The bug house?
Because, yeah, dude, I actually loved the house.
Oh, yeah.
I love the idea of it.
In itself, yeah.
Yes. And also just, I did feel like it was the perfect, like, metaphor, bring to life example of trauma, of just this, like, festering home, like, festering exactly the way Greta is festering and her trauma is festering.
Yeah,
because
find ways to make it work.
Yeah, instead of actually dealing with any of the problems, they just, like, you know, put a glass panel up or figure out a workaround instead of actually fixing something. Create, and I was like, yes,
in a box.
Yeah, I'm like, this is exactly how Greta's living. Instead of actually dealing with the trauma, she just finds a workaround to keep moving on, and so now her life is like this house.
And it's two women with trauma living mm-hmm. in a trauma house.
Yes.
In coping.
Well, and Sabine would just disappear for time that you can't realize how long she's gone. And then you find out it's because she's in rehab. And I'm like, but you kept coming back. So that confuses me.
Yeah. I don't know. I was honestly, for a lot of the book, touch and go as to whether Sabine was real.
Fair.
She is real. But the whole time I was like, is Sabine real?
She was gone for a month or so when she was initially doing, like, starting her relationship with Big Swiss. And that's when she was in rehab. So, like, mm-hmm. she didn't keep coming back. She did just text her, and then she reappeared.
Okay.
But
yeah.
The other thing is that she'd met Sabine at some point, and when she was ready to blow up her life, Sabine just pulled up in a van, and Greta got in and left. And that's insane. That is.
Yeah.
Someone who encourages that is also insane. So it's two mm-hmm. insane women doing drugs, living in a dilapidated, beautiful home with bugs.
Yeah. Because, yep. like, you knew that the house had good bones. It's from the 1700s, is, like, a very unique house. And if, like, properly cared for, can be a beautiful
mansion. And it's, like, full of bedrooms, despite Greta living in the living room.
In the antechamber.
Yeah. With the curtain full of stink bugs hibernating. Mm-hmm. And the ants and the
I don't do bugs, so that was a lot.
Also, they're like carrying out this torrid affair in this dilapidated, nasty bug room.
Yep.
Big Swiss talks about it, and she's just like, I don't know why I keep coming back. It's so gross.
And that's what I kind of love, is like, I can understand their fascination with each other.
It's like therapy in and of itself.
Yeah, because they both, again, like, you know, we've brought it up already, but they deal with their issues in completely opposite ways. But they're kind of united, unfortunately, by, like, mutual unhappiness. Mm-hmm. And I feel like getting to see each other's lives is so crazy for them. Like,
it's like me watching Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. Would I ever behave that way?
No.
Right.
But I'll never be in the position to behave that way. So no. I just watch.
No, it's a train wreck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Because Greta becomes so fascinated with Big Swiss, and that is reciprocated. Like, Big Swiss mm-hmm. is sort of also fascinated with Greta, and they are, like, kind of in love with each other, even though their relationship is, like, super unhealthy.
And then she invites her to dinner with her husband.
Yeah, which was super crazy. Weird.
I was like, why are we doing this? Also, well, Greta was losing her actual mind at this.
It was like splitting herself in half because she took shrooms, basically.
Yeah. But her, like, old tics, her old coping tics mm-hmm. were showing up. And also, Big Swiss was being super aggressive for no apparent reason, which is making Luke uncomfortable, which was hilarious, honestly. So funny.
I liked Luke. I was like, this dude is just so funny.
I'm sorry Luke, he got stabbed.
I know.
I knew it was him. Crazy. I knew it was him. Yeah. Yeah. Because they talked about him and his weird little knife, and I was like, oh, mm-hmm. knife collection. It's like, him.
Yeah. And they're like, the Patagonia wearing out of town, or I'm like, nope, it's Luke. It's definitely him, because he doesn't fit in at that town.
Luke was so wholesome. He was probably my favorite character just because I felt like he was the only, like, nice person.
Also, you find out, you think he's been cheating this whole time, and he was really just learning jujitsu so he could go and confront Keith.
Yeah. So he could try to protect
that went out the window real quick.
Yeah.
Obviously. But you're like, oh, so actually only Big Swiss was cheating.
Yeah.
She kind of sucks.
Yeah. And also, it was so kind of cute to me and endearing that he had this huge, weird knife collection, like the literally shivs. Like preparing to like defend his wife with his like fucking shivs. Like his coping mechanism was collecting knives.
Well, like knives, shivs.
Shivs. Yeah. Sorry, shivs.
She talks about he has this like tactile defensive disorder where he hates being like hugged and stuff, but he is doing jujitsu. Mm-hmm. And facing his fear. By the way, I took a random jujitsu class once because my friend was an instructor, and I have never been so well thoroughly touched by another woman. Like, it is not for someone who dislikes hugs, not at all. It was out of my comfort zone. I did not go back. So that man, he really put in the work.
Oh yes. So I also feel like Greta and Big Swiss are sort of mutually united in this, like, apathy they feel towards their own lives. So, like, Big Swiss has the life that on its face looks perfect, but she's deeply unhappy. And then Greta has a life that's, like, very obviously unhappy. She's unhappy. But Greta also blew up her super comfortable, normal person life to live in a shithole and be a trash panda. Mm-hmm. And
live on a weed farm.
Yeah. And so it was just interesting to me that it's like they put everything on each other because that was the first time they had managed to like break out of the trauma haze and actually feel genuine feeling and desire was like for each other and for this affair.
Also like mutually assured destruction at that dinner table.
Dude, the dinner scene gave me hives, I think, because I was so nervous reading it. Like,
but also, okay, which is one of our next questions, the confrontation at the end where they finally confront each other and then Big Swiss is like spanking her, but then the dog's shy and you're like, so they're not actually addressing this, right? And then they never do. But I was like, the chaos of what is happening. Oh, and she like enters menopause while this is happening. Or
that
something.
Was crazy.
Like, I don't know what was going on there. It was insane. And they both were just like so confident in what they were feeling during that crazy interaction.
Yeah. So I think part of the reason this book isn't 5 stars for me is because of the ending. And also, to me, so the whole cycle of trauma they've built with both the characters, I think is really well done.
Mm-hmm.
The thing for me I wanted more resolution on is the fact that what Greta did was very violating. Mm-hmm. So, like, I feel like there's kind of a theme of, like, violation in the book and, like, how people have to deal with mm-hmm. that, like, deal with being violated, deal with being, with loving someone who's experienced trauma, the trauma that results from being violated. And how people who have been violated, like, violate others in trying to deal with it. So, like, Greta being hurt by her mom and then becoming her mom. Like, you know, you get it. But I just don't feel like they actually ever address, like, the violation aspect of what Greta did.
They start to talk it out and then the dog gets shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no. And Greta also tries to say, like, what you did is also wrong. And it's like, it's back to, like, ranking trauma and ranking, you know, wrongdoings. And
Is it a rank thing
or is it just, like, they're all
equal? I lied to you, but you are an adulterer. It's, like, not the same.
Yeah. When they talk about trauma rank in the beginning, too.
Yeah.
So it's, like, now which is worse? Which of our lives is worse? And it's, like, nope, they're all bad. They're all equally bad, but they can't see that for themselves.
Right.
Also, if the dog had died, this would have been 1 star.
Yeah. No. Anytime an animal gets hurt. Mm-mm.
Yeah. I just.
Let's talk about the love story between Pinyon and his.
Oh, my God. Dude, I'm sorry.
So gross.
Another gay awakening.
So funny to me. I was like, what are we doing here?
Two gay awakenings.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I just thought, like, the ending sort of lost the plot, and I didn't need it to feel all wrapped up, but I just wanted them to, like, actually address some of it.
Right. It's not addressed. You don't know if Luke lives. You don't know if Big Swiss and Greta ever talk it out. You don't know if Keith goes to jail or who the stalker was. You don't know, like, any of it. She's unemployed with no one who loves her except the dog and Sabine, and now the donkeys at the end, and she's happy. And you're like, that gives me so much anxiety.
Yeah, because the donkeys are what, eating her leg hair or something like that? I don't even know.
I think it's they're leaning against her, which actually therapy dogs are trained to do.
Yeah.
Like our school therapy dog will go lean against the person who he thinks is the most anxious, which was explained to me once as he was leaning against me.
That's so cute.
But he's like a bigger dog and his weight is comforting when he like leans on your leg. Okay. And that was my interpretation of what that was. Is they were just leaning on her while eating, and it was comforting to her.
I like that Sabine found love with the donkey breeder or whoever he was.
Oh, yes.
Fresher, yeah.
Maybe Greta will get with Sabine's son. Who knows?
Who knows?
She seems interested in young people, so.
Right.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
That's the whole thing. It's every time then I was reminded that she was, like, 45 and these people were much younger. I was like, this is kind of gross. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and kind of gross. Because of how visual all the sex was, I was like, icky. Nope. Gross. Gross, gross.
Right. I also just, okay, so I liked that at the end, it feels like they've kind of broken through the haze.
Mm-hmm.
They can go back to being normal people. And
whatever normal was.
Right. And normal for them, I guess. And I like that there was a resolution in the sense that, like, they could kind of move on from the, like, very toxic place that they were at.
Well, and Greta is in therapy and starting to come to terms with her mother's suicide.
Yeah, and Greta's doing much better. Right. And so even though Greta's life is, like, worse than it's ever been, she's much happier. But I was just like, she still hasn't really taken accountability for anything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like,
and Ohm let her off real easy.
Yep.
Yeah. And so I was just, yeah, I just didn't really find it satisfying. I just, you know, I needed a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they just never talk again after the dog gets shot, because then we find out that Luke was indeed the one that was stabbed. And Big Swiss is basically like, I can't see you anymore because I have to take care of now my, like, basically quadriplegic husband.
Yeah. Did they say he was paralyzed or did she just, like, I feel like she kind of just guessed that.
I guess she guessed that, but he's not in good shape.
No.
Right.
He got stabbed 8 times.
Yeah.
Right.
But and I also, like, is Keith in jail?
I hope.
I assume.
Yep.
Who's following that? You know, I have many questions, and I don't like when, like, a few questions at the end is okay, but this was too many questions at the end, and it made me uncomfortable.
It just abruptly ended with donkeys.
Like, I could have read more, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Same.
Okay. Cool. I mean, I think that's everything. Is there anything that you guys want to recommend?
Is there anything like this book? I don't think there's anything close to this book.
My Year of Rest and Relaxation.
Oh, Jesus. No, I'm never recommending that book.
Oh. I'm not going to recommend that one. The one I'm going to recommend, I mentioned earlier, is Bunny. It's much more horror. I love Bunny. Bunny is, like, one of my favorite books. But it's very much, like, unreliable narrator. You're not sure what's happening. People having psychotic breaks. And you're not sure what's real. And also just, like, very, like, female-centric. Like, female rage, female relationships. So there's nothing quite like Big Swiss, but that's what I'm going to recommend.
I guess I'll recommend a podcast book we read, Martyr. It's got a little more plot to it, but it also is a very big, like, character book. And I think if you like Big Swiss, you're more likely than not like Martyr.
I'm going to mention the TV show I mentioned earlier, because I don't know of any other books like this. The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. And it's a character who constantly, way less toxic, but constantly does the opposite of what you think she's going to do, because she was kidnapped as a young teen and kept in a bunker for years and years and was just, like, rescued and unleashed onto the world that has moved on without her and has no idea how to integrate into New York City. And it's hilarious. And she finds herself in a living situation that reminds me of this one and constantly just does her and the other two characters that are like the main characters constantly do things. You're like, why are you doing that? That's wrong. Okay. But so funny. So it's what I'm manifesting this TV adaptation to be.
There we go. Very good. Okay. Well, these are just our opinions. We'd love to hear yours. We'd also love to get more book recommendations from you guys. You can connect with us online at Busy Girls Pod pretty much everywhere. We also have busygirlspod.com. And please, pretty please, rate and review our podcast 5 stars.
Yeah. We're happy you're here. I'm happy to find a lit fic book I didn't actually like give 2 stars because I hated it. So
hey, I've had some wins. There have been some wins in this.
It
podcast.
Was not 2 stars because I hated it. It was 2 stars because I hated the ending.
Yes. I was just grossed out. But I liked the plot ish.
Yeah. What plot, Catherine?
It was chaos.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, I'm Casey.
I'm Caitlin.
And I'm Catherine. Thanks for listening. And when you get a chance, take a break with the Busy Girls Book Club.